Hey everybody, welcome to episode 436 of the Android App Addict Show. My name is Eric Ardini, and some people call me the manager. And tonight I am joined with the man of the hour, the Linux maven, the Android specialist, door-to-door geek, Steve McLaughlin. How you doing, Dor?
Hey, Eric. I'll admit, I've been thinking about alternate names for years now for you, and I keep thinking, like, director. I mean, something sounding more managerial without the word manager. But then I also remembered some mafia word. What was that? I can't remember. There's a mafia position.
Godfather.
No, that's too much. It was like, I want to say, I can't remember.
Don. I think Don?
No, because that sounds like almost like, you know, a nickname. I want to say it was almost like governor, maybe.
Governor. Hey, I was just in a meeting before the show started.
Oh, never mind.
Okay. And they were going to add a title to me as collector.
Collector. That is definitely mafia-like. Yeah.
Now, this would not be the first, if they give me this position, this would not be the first time I've been a collector.
Okay.
Just saying.
So you visited local people and you informed them it would be a shame if they would lose their protection?
No, but it would be a shame if they couldn't make it to work later today because I just repoed your car.
Ah, gotcha. That is a collector.
I did that for a while. I probably repoed about, 350 cars, I bet, at least.
Yeah, you're a more dangerous fellow than I. I'm a sissy. I don't want to repo cars. Two people I know of, and I know them, basically, got shot in the middle of repoing a car. And, you know, I really enjoy not having extra holes put into my body.
We've got enough holes as it is, man. It's hard to keep them from leaking out. I never got shot at. I got threatened. I had all kinds of weird stories. I could go on. I could do a whole week of podcasts on just some of them stories. But we'll save those for that podcast, that what we used to do when we were young podcast.
Gotcha. Do you have any, and I'm going to pull the mark this week, do you have any new hardware to speak of, Eric?
Well, I don't know. I have a new extended battery for a Galaxy S3 with a case, just so I can try to bring this thing back from the dead. Yeah, that's not really exciting, though.
No, it's not. That's like Barack Obama getting, I believe, a Samsung Galaxy 1, not even a 2, this past week.
Do you remember, Dor, when this was the Galaxy S3? Aren't those exactly. weren't those fun days?
Those were definitely different times.
Yep. This was a premier phone in its day. The USB port's bad. So I had correct pronunciation? Qi charger?
Qi.
Qi's,
I believe.
Okay, so I had a Qi charger on a regular, which is was Qi, right? On a regular battery. And it worked fine. It was okay. My son was using it, but I gave him my Note 4 when I got the 5X. He doesn't actually use it as a phone. He doesn't have a service plan or nothing like that. He just uses it for Snapchat, Facebook, messaging of different ways to people at school. So he gave me this one back. So gotcha. I'm trying to make it useful again, but the lack of a way to charge it makes it difficult. Other than, you don't want to have to pull the battery out all the time, throw it in a wall charger, which is what I'm doing now.
Yeah, that is a bit painful. I technically got some new hardware this week.
What'd you get, Dor?
Unfortunately, it was a $18,000 edition of Android Auto and accompanied by a free car.
Well, one of those is a really good deal.
Well, it's not a great car. It's an okay car. It's a modest car. It's a three-cylinder putt-putt-putt-putt car, which, it was only like literally $13 or $14 to fill the tank up. Which made me feel really good.
Yeah, even with the gas prices as they are now, it's like $40 for me to fill mine up. I would like to just come over to your house, if you don't mind, maybe after the show. Come over. I just want to sit in your car and smell.
It does have that smell.
Oh, there's nothing better than new car smell. I've only actually got to own that once, though, and I'll never do it again. But it's a great smell.
Yeah, this is, I believe, our first new car in about a decade, just about 9 years, I think. But the Kia we had that Steve incessantly made fun of me for years, The timing belt was getting ready to have to be replaced. The major tune-up was coming. The shocks were just about gone. Two of the tires were going to need to be replaced. The back passenger window would roll down, not roll up. It was a whole bunch of little things. We just said, that's it.
What? Get rid of it. Was that a Kia Soul?
No, it was a Kia Spectra.
Spectra.
Yeah. It was the cheaper cheap. So we got this. We got a Mitsubishi Mirage, which is almost reminiscent, if you remember back in the day, the Geo Metro.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Where if you had like four guys in it weighing 200 pounds a piece, it would take literally like a quarter mile to get up to 35 miles an hour.
Yeah, but...
And I know that from personal experience.
Those Geo Metros were bulletproof, though. Those things ran forever.
Well, and that's what our hope is, that this will be able to run for a long time, because we literally only wanted a car that would make it from point A to point B in an economical way, because we have to go through Baltimore traffic, which means we don't need acceleration. We don't need speed, because most of the time is spent in traffic where you're going like 30 miles an hour on a major interstate highway.
Oh, yeah, well, that's perfect. So
I'll say this, it should be a good experience. But I finally got to experience, quote-unquote, Android Auto.
Nice.
And I'm going to tell you, it's a very mixed, to me, experience.
Wait, no. Before you get into the review of Android Auto, this car, you did not get the base model and got Android Auto in it, right?
We have the Mitsubishi Mirage SE Edition, and I believe it has virtually all the bells and whistles, but the way I denote it, do I have all the bells and whistles, is do I see places on the console or the steering wheel where there's a plain plastic square where there should be something.
Yeah.
There should be something there. There should be something and I do have a couple of them, but we do have most of the bells and whistles.
So, okay. All right. Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, and it's like I believe a 6-inch screen in the console. It's a decent sized screen. Radio does have a CD player, and when you're not moving, I believe it can play DVDs, which, of course, complete waste of everything, but, you know.
Bluetooth. On the 6-inch screen, it'll play DVDs out of your car radio?
But only when you're still, not when you're moving.
Camping car.
Okay, and that trend will continue on. Okay, Bluetooth. This is also my first vehicle with Bluetooth. So the first thing I did, first day, I just connected Bluetooth. And one of the biggest pains to me and my wife both have phones. Once in a while, she listens to stuff. Once in a while, I listen to stuff. You cannot create a connection on a Bluetooth device, on a Bluetooth stereo in a car while you're moving. You have to be stopped. Literally, there's no button to connect a new device while you're moving.
Yeah, that's not cool. If you got somebody that's in the back seat with a really good song on their radio, on their phone that you want to hear.
Right. But they're, quote-unquote, trying to be safe, just like not playing a movie on the screen while you're driving. They're trying to be safe. I'm a fan of natural selection. Let me just say that. You know, if people are dumb enough to do stuff, you know. a day later, and I don't see, I'm connected via Bluetooth, and I don't see a way to enact the little icon on the main screen that says Android Auto. So I'm stupid. I'm confused. What's going on? I don't understand this thing. I just keep driving.
Okay.
The wife pulls out the owner's manual and figures out. She opens up the glove box, and there's a short, like 5-inch cable with a female full-size USB-A plug at the end. What the hell is that? She said, that's how you connect to Android Auto. I said, in the glove box? Makes no sense to me. Complete stupefaction.
Wait, why do you need to connect to Android Auto?
If you want to use Android Auto, that's how you connect to
it. So if you don't have an Android phone, you can't use Android Auto?
You can't use Android Auto.
Oh.
Period.
Oh. Well, so it's running off your processor or your phone?
Well, yes, and also the car does have Apple Play, which I believe is the same way. You can only use it if you have an iPhone, okay? So here's the gimmick. You open up the glove box, you connect your phone. You have to also have the Android app on your device, which will be my first app of the show. The Android Auto app then said waiting, updating, so it's actually updating the firmware in the car, which I like that.
Oh, okay.
But then it says connecting. Do you agree to terms and the services? And hello, Danny.
Hello, Dad.
Do you like the new car?
Yeah.
Okay, give me a kiss. I can smell you from here. You smell fresh and clean. Mm-hmm. Now I need you to go to bed.
Okay. Hi, Danny.
Hey.
Hi, Mario.
Go to bed, buddy. Okay. Sorry. Okay, so you plug it up. It says it's updating, and then it's like a terms of service. Once you say yes, the phone screen goes completely black and just says Android Auto on your phone. So now your phone is completely unusable. Okay, and then they're telling you to put it in your glove compartment. I'm going to say again for safety's sake, because there's no built-in car mount or anything in the car. So you plug it up, and then you close your glove compartment. Now, externally in the car, there's a couple things. There's the touch screen, 6-inch touch screen, which is the interface to Android Auto. Right in front of my steering wheel is a little microphone, which is the mic for Android Auto or for Apple Play. And then over by the passenger, by the very front, there's a box, which is the GPS. So I'm believing now through that USB connection, it's using the external mic on the steering wheel, the touch interface and the screen on the dash, and the GPS in the car. There's 5 main buttons on Android Auto. Map, music or audio, contacts, home, and then I can't remember what the last one was, but it was not very compelling, I'll say that. The interface is literally like hampered, cut down, reduced, limited, whatever you want to put it, because there's an American automotive specification they have to meet, which is you cannot go deeper than like 3 clicks on a screen, because they deem if you go too far in depth in touches, it becomes too distracting, blah 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 blah.
I can see the that audio, I see that point.
I can too, but either way, now with my phone connected in the glove box, if somebody voxes me, I have no idea I got voxed. It might have a little notification come down on top of the screen, but I didn't hear anything. Maybe that was my setting. Text messages come through, and you can speak for it to speak it to you. It will ask you, do you want to hear it? Bung. You say yes. It will then speak the text to you and ask you, do you want to reply? Voice the text, tell you what you said, and then ask you, do you want to send? So that was cool.
Yeah.
The turn-by-turn direction interface was basically almost exactly like Google Maps in landscape, but I will say I think it looked better. I seriously think it looked better. The audio, the one thing I liked about the audio screen was every one of your audio-based apps popped up. So right there, as soon as it went to audio, I could launch Google Play Music. I could launch Podcast Addict. My wife could launch Pandora or one of those things. So I thought that was actually kind of cool. You had access to your recent searches, playlist, like that. So that worked as advertised. And in navigation and in the audio, at least I had a mic button in the top corner. I tap it, wait a second, Google Now, type, bung, say what you want, and then blah. You know, there's either asking you, is this the right place where you want to drive to, or you search for Weird Al, and, you know, shows me all the Weird Al stuff. I click it, and it plays. So if you're okay with the limited interface, it was actually really good. I'm going to try to use it for a couple weeks and see if I can put up with not having access to my Voxer or other apps while in the car.
Okay, so listen to that. I got a couple of questions and comments. That takes me by a total surprise. I had no clue that Android Auto only ran off of a phone and that you couldn't use a phone when you're doing it. The voice dictation, as far as being a safety issue, can you say okay auto and have it come up with a prompt asking you, you know, being ready for you to say something then?
I no, not auto, but I do believe when I said Google,
okay Google,
that
works.
And then I believe it did come up and work exactly like it did on your phone right there. Yes.
Okay. Well, that's good, because that I would hope so. Man, when you said you and your wife got in the car and the Bluetooth thing, I'm like, oh, yeah, I just assumed when you have Android Auto, you're basically, you got 3 units instead of 2.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought, too. I thought I'd be able to connect via Bluetooth and basically have it as my second screen.
Wow. So,
right.
So there's no way to interact. If you've got one phone plugged into Android Auto and someone in the backseat's got the song that they want you to hear, can they still connect to the Bluetooth and play that song through your Bluetooth?
Yes.
Oh.
You can still hit home in the interface, and it will go back to the radio console Mitsubishi interface to where you can go through your Bluetooth connections and play audio. And then when you want to go back, you go back to the home, click Android Auto, and then there's your navigation and everything else. Now, navigation will still speak to you if you have it on the whole time.
Over the Bluetooth then. Yeah, that's
yeah.
Yeah. Wow, I know it took you by surprise, and it's really taken me by surprise. I don't want to say door. It's just okay. So I've got a truck that somebody put an aftermarket CD player in. The minute I step into this truck, it connects to my phone, and it says Nexus 5X right on the screen, and it will automatically start playing whatever I was listening to before I turned that truck on.
Right.
And
same here, and I kind of don't like that, but
okay. Well, yeah, no, it's kind of weird, because if you were, like, you know, listening to some insane plot clown posse, and then you've got your four-year-old in the back seat, and they've never heard that many cuss words in a row.
Okay, quick question. What's worse to you, Insane Clown Posse or Joe Rogan?
Worse?
Wow, oh, never mind. Joe Rogan.
No.
Okay, because you hesitated. I worried there. Maybe it's just the Benadryl.
Worse, I mean, worse in what way? Worse for my four-year-old, or worse?
Just in general. Just no, in general.
ICP all the way, man.
Okay.
I'm a juggala. No, I don't know.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, Dor, I mean, what are you going to do every morning when you're driving this vehicle?
Well, first off, I despise the fact that if it's just me in the car, me being Fatty McFatterson, I have to lean over to the glove box, open it up, and plug it up to do it. I'm going to literally try to use Android Auto for a couple weeks exclusively, because I really honestly do like the navigation interface. It's bigger. It looks a little bit cleaner. I put the link in the notes. If you take a look at the second screenshot, you can see it has very big on the left side. How far? What is your next action? Street name, the time, the destination. On the right, it has like the map itself. Top right, you have your mic button. Shows you all your phone stats right there. And then the top left hamburger menu, that's where you can go to points of interest, places you've been to recently, or go into map settings. I believe you can actually turn on stuff like satellite, turn off traffic if you want, stuff like that. So I actually like the navigation interface enough, I'll say, to keep trying it.
No, that's a nice nav. I guess I wish, you know, a lot of times you don't know exactly where you're going, right? Okay. Let me rephrase that. Sometimes I don't know exactly where I'm going. So having a passenger or a wingman, a navigator next to me, can be looking the stuff up on their phone. It would just be so nice to Chromecast what they're checking out up to my Android Auto screen in the middle of the dashboard. That,
I'm not going to argue that.
I'm just as a user, that is exactly how I had expected it,
me
it
too.
To work.
I think I would have liked that much, much more, but I'll say, devil's advocate, I can see people exclaiming that's a safety issue because it's too, quote-unquote, interactive, you know, because you're not supposed to be playing with your phone when you drive, so I guess that shouldn't be as whatever as your phone.
My phone is on my dash. That's the only thing I interact with. I don't really touch anything else except... You know, once I've got an older Motorola Bluetooth FM transmitter thing in my car. So I have to start out by pressing the button. It connects to Bluetooth. Press another button. It gives me a station to tune to. After that, that's my Android Auto. And if I'm not checking Voxers while I'm driving, but I might be playing a podcast or doing nav, and it cuts in and out just fine. You know, when I have a turn coming up, Podcast Addict will pause. My turn coming up notification will speak. It stops speaking. Podcast Addict starts back up. That's the way it should be. I mean, you've just got, the way you're describing it, Dora, I just feel like I would have a car mount sitting right in front of that 6-inch screen with my 5-inch screen there. I don't want to hear that. I don't want it to be that way.
I know. I will say if I had a full-size tablet right there embedded in the dash, it would be much more, filled experience, if you will, but the wife and I kind of believe it's a safety thing. So let's play their game. Let's see what they say.
Yeah.
You know, just see if it's usable. Because worst case scenario, I have my mount in the car. I just plug up right there and just Bluetooth.
What do you think that cost you as an addition to that vehicle?
Well, because everything is a complete ripoff with a new car, kind of like a new motorcycle. Knowing them, they charged upwards of $600 to $800 for that head unit with Android Auto and Apple playing it.
So I'd be interested in a month from now, after you gave it some, you know, some test and tune, if you would have rather paid a guy professionally $400 to mount a Nexus 7 in that hole professionally.
Oh, I can tell you, period, yes. I would have much rather been able to stick my phone in a mount, hit my button to allow tethering, have that device in the dash, connect to my phone, use its data, and away we go.
That's all. It would have already been... already you've made that determination that you would rather have that?
Oh, I'm sure, because here's one of the reasons I don't like Android Auto. Anything that causes friction is something I will not do. I am following the mandate given forth by Bruce Lee back in like the 70s, okay?
Okay.
Be like water. Be like water. I don't jump and I don't do all kinds of stuff. I sink into the cracks. If there's a crack, if there's an easier way to do something, I'm going to be like water, go right into that and do that. If I have to go in my car, lean over, open the glove box, pull out the cord in, put my phone in the glove box, close the glove box, then get on the car and then start doing stuff on the dash, that to me is a lot more work than just walking in, slapping my phone in the mount, squeezing it, plugging from the bottom.
The fact that you have to plug it in is just so crazy to me. Do you think if you got an Android Auto and a Mercedes, I mean, could it be the limitations of the car? If you got an Android app,
nope, guarantee.
Android Auto guarantee has to you. Be plugged in every vehicle.
If you take a look at even the video, Android Auto, the first thing that happens is the guy takes the phone, physically plugs up to the bottom of it. A second or two later, the screen on the phone goes black with just the word Android Auto. It's by design. And this is why I feel like Android Auto will be almost a novelty until something changes, like A, connecting via Bluetooth.
Yes, right. That's the thing. I mean, really.
Right, or it becomes more interactive, more like a native Android experience, which I don't know.
Android Auto should fire up in your car as soon as you turn the key. Okay, if it doesn't have its own hardware. So I guess I kind of understand where it would be a screen to some other hardware. So if you buy a car today, it's not stuck with the power of today's phone. So, but right. If you shouldn't even have to take the phone out of your pocket.
I agree.
And that,
that's one thing I like.
That would be safety.
I get in the car, right, and that's one thing I do like about the car a lot. I get in the car, my keys are in the pocket, I sit down, I push the button, the car starts. I love the fact that I don't have to take my keys out of my pocket to start my car. I would like to be able to get in the car and just have that screen automatically display the Android whatever interface without me having to jump through all these extra hoops.
To do anything.
Well, here's the only plus I take out of this, Eric. More than likely, you're always going to need a physical connection for now, because that's the way the console is enabled. The car itself needs the physical connection. But the interface itself appears to me to be completely updatable by any time in the future via Google. Now, there might be some kind of hack. I can download, click a couple boobity-boos, and then when I connect it, there might be a way I can actually get a much more full, rich Android experience on that screen. But for right now, I don't want to hack anything. I just want to go with the native experience. And even if there is a way to hack it, I still might not, because it might cause the wife to go freaky panic. We just spent over $15,000 on a car, and you're hacking it.
The way you describe it to me, though, makes me think that that is impossible. There's no hardware behind that screen to update. You're just updating the app, and it does the updates to the screen. There's nothing. You got a screen. You got a capacitive touchscreen, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got a little firmware for running everything else, you know, like Bluetooth and FM radio and things. Right. Your FM radio is built in that same unit, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So it's got that. I mean, I guess you could update that if you needed to.
I don't know.
It does future proof it that way, though. I guess, you know.
Well, because yes, anytime they update the app or I update my phone, I'm going to get a new interface in the car, which is the way it should be. I shouldn't have to upgrade my car.
Right, because if you drive in some Maximas, like Nissan Maximas from the early 2000s, those were pretty cool and a heck of a screen, you know, on the dash, but it's very dated now when it's like monochrome with gold, you know, and stuff.
Right. Yeah. It's like watching a movie and they pull out a flip phone.
Yeah, it's a super, you It's a super new looking car on the outside, but the inside electronics is just really shabby. Yeah, man. Yeah, I'm kind of bummed about that. I expected so much more out of it. But I guess if that's the way it's going to be for now, that is it. I mean, you really have to plug in an Apple too, the same way.
I'm 99% sure.
Well, I guess that sucks all around. I mean, I would hate for Android to be connecting physically with Apple not, or something like that, because neither of them should, but...
I don't know. Do you want to jump to an email?
Sure. We have an email from Ivor Davies. He says, "Hey, guys, have to say I really love your show, and I've found a lot of your app suggestions really, really good." Well, thank you, Ivor. That's better than we found them, probably. Some of them are pretty good. "A rare thing these days." Oh, is it a rare thing these days on us, or that the apps are good?
Maybe a little bit of both.
Huh. Okay. I'll keep noted, Ivor. I will make sure that I try to bring better apps. Okay. "I have an app installed that I've used practically every day since I found it about 3 years ago. I find it extremely useful, and I think your audience would definitely get lots of utility out of it too. It's called And Made Share, and the and made is all one word, and then the second word is share. It's called And Made Share, and I found it when I was looking for an app that I could use to share across social media platforms, Twitter, Facebook, and Google+. This app takes whatever you share and will share it with any other app you have installed on your phone or tablet. Quite often, I have friends I want to share with on multiple social media platforms. This app lets me share one thing multiple times with just the touch of a couple buttons. Not only social media, but it will let me share email, articles, documents across all of my productivity apps, such like Evernote and Wunderlist, OneNote, and Google Keep. It's free and has a pro version, which I have, but to be honest, I find there hasn't been much call for me to use the pro features. Anyway, this is a great app, and I hope your listeners like it. Regards, Ivor Davies from New Zealand." Wow. Thank you, Ivor.
Right. And I would say good day, but that would be insulting because that's Australia, not New Zealand.
Right. You know, I don't do much social media. Google+ is about the only place I do, but I do have a Twitter account, so I could, like Dora would say, automagically start posting to Twitter without even trying, I guess, if I had this app. You use something like this, don't you, Dor?
No.
You don't.
I use exactly this.
Oh.
Sean Johnsoni brought this app back in episode 73.
Whoa, 70.
Okay, that's how long ago, because he says he learned about it 3 years ago. Well, we also learned about it about 3 years ago. This is one of the apps I immediately install on every device.
Huh.
Now, if you look at screenshots in the store, you can tell this app has not been updated for a good long time. 2013 was when this thing got updated. But here's the gimmick. It doesn't need to be updated because the basic share system in Android hasn't changed. Basically, anytime you open up any app and you hit share, it will pop up and say, "Do you want to use AndMade Share or Android System?"
Mm-hmm.
You pick AndMade Share and say always. What it does is it enables you now to have a much broader selection of apps you can share with. Because, okay, for instance, on Apple, when you go to say share, it's only a very select number of the apps that are in that list. The application developer has to specifically say, "I want to share with that app or this app." Okay. Now, in Google, the app developers do have the opportunity to say, "Here's the suggested apps." And that's all you see in the list. AndMade Share basically opens up the floodgates and will let you share virtually anything to virtually anything. And you can make up basically batches. For instance, this is what I do on my phone, Eric. I'm anywhere on the internet. I see an app. I think this app is cool. I say share, and then I say share to Gitpocket. I check the box. I go down a little bit. I say also share it to Google+. I check the box. Then I go down a bit further and say, oh, yeah, and let me share it to Twitter. I check the box on Phoenix, and then I go down and I say check the box on Tiny Tiny RSS, and I check the box and I hit share. It basically shares to all four of them instantly. Depending on what you share it with, it might wait for that screen to disappear before it does the next share. So in one fell swoop, I can share to multiple places with very minimal effort.
So you do you have to pick those places to share it every time, or can you set up a badge?
Okay, that's the thing. With the pro feature, what you can do is say, I want to combine my Gitpocket, my Twitter, my Google Plus, and my TinyTiny RSS into one entry and just call it social Android sharing. So then the next time I share, I only have to hit that one thing.
Well, that's, I mean, the way you described it is not bad either. You know what I mean? Because there may be something, so maybe you have your Facebook account you just don't do that much with. You don't want to automatically have it just go to all those things. If there's something you just, you know, like you use Facebook for only family, no podcasts or no whatever.
Right.
Yeah, that's, I don't know how I didn't listen to Dirty Thumbs back then, but I'm installing it now.
So. Well, don't feel bad. Nobody listens to him.
That's true.
The other plus is when you get your share screen, you can easily click, hold, and drag entries up and down if you want to reorder how that screen looks. And then if you open up the app itself, you can say, okay, I never want to share anything to this app. Don't ever show it in any list. So if your list is too long, you can purposely remove entries.
Huh. That's cool too. Because yeah, there's certain things that I would never use, but I still keep the app.
Yeah, and I will say thank you for the support, Ivor. I believe he was one of the guys I got a donation from this week. So thank you very much, sir.
Cool.
This app is to me one of those golden apps. You have to use it a couple times. And then you can understand it, is what I'll say.
Well, thank you for the email, Ivor. We really appreciate it. I think we've got another one, too, don't we? Yeah.
Email, yeah.
Yeah, we've got another one. This one is from, wow. You know what? You pre-warned me on this name, and I didn't even take a look. I just figured I'd just rock it right off the bat. So here we go. Flavu Siobanu. Hi, guys. Great podcast you have. I'm an independent developer looking for some exposure to my apps. Have you heard of Kinscreen? I imagine it's something your listeners would enjoy. I created this app about 2 years ago to conveniently keep your display on when needed and turn it off when it isn't. For power users, I created LeanDroid, which with the power of Root has proven to be an incredible, powerful battery-saving tool. It automatically manages the device's radios to your preference. I have a few other apps you might find interesting. And you can find all of my apps, and he gives us the link for that. Right. All of his apps. It says, please let me know if you'd like to talk about any of them on your show. I can provide you with free promo codes and give them out for premium upgrades. Well, Flav, you? Yeah, I don't know if we need all that. But so have you checked out his app, Kinscreen, LeanDroid, or any of his other app store?
No, but this sounds a lot like the app I use right now. I've been using for years. Scribble, S-C-R-E-E-B-L, I believe it is. The problem with that app is I believe it's basically fallen out of support. So I am going to need to, I should be looking for alternative apps to replace it. Because what I'm using is Scribble Lite, because I have the paid version to it, the pro version of it. So I should look at replacing it. And this app, if you take a look at the screenshots, looks very unbelievably feature rich, and by unbelievable I mean completely feature rich.
Yeah.
Where you can say the individual degree numbers, where you can say if my phone is standing straight up, for instance, never turn it off. If it's 10 degrees anyway, don't turn it off. But if it's more than 15 degrees anyway, turn it off. So if it's laying flat on the table, for instance, turn it off. A whole bunch of options like that. It also gives you customized time settings, how long to keep your screen on, because you might say, when I lay my phone flat, still keep it on for a minute and then turn it off. Or when, you know, as soon as I put it down flat in 5 seconds, turn off that screen. So it does look like it's pretty feature rich is what I'm going to say. You can also have different settings for when you're on charging or on a call, different types of things like that, which is also a good setting. So I think he has his head about him, right? And what I'll say is, I don't need no apps for free. If I like your apps, I'm paying you money. I'm going to encourage everyone else in the audience, if they like your apps, pay the money, support the developers. If you want to give us a key or two, I'll just post it on Twitter one time and just give them away kind of thing. I don't mind doing that at all, but this definitely looks really good. I'm going to have to back up my Scribble APK and then give this one a try.
Well, I'm surprised when I look at Kinscreen, all the things it does that you don't, and you don't have to have root for this.
Right.
This is just, if you're ever wondering how you can make your screen stay on or turn off when you want it to, this has every setting that you could possibly have came across. You know, I mean, certain things like, hey, if I'm on a charger, leave it on. You know, don't turn, right. Don't dim the screen if I'm on a charger, because that way I can just look over and glance at it. I don't have to touch the thing. All that stuff. Where you can, I like how you can just drill down to the degrees of tilt, you know,
right.
that you wanted to keep the screen on or turn it off. That's very good. And this app, Kinscreen, the developer goes by the name TekTik, TeqTic Tools, TekTik Tools.
Right. And which is a lot easier to pronounce than
his name.
Yes.
So a couple of the other apps he's got ClickLight Flashlight, LeanDroid, which he mentioned in the email, Kinscreen, Lock Me Out, Minimap, and LivePix. And I have not looked at those to see what they all do. And there's another one. Oh, yeah, I don't know if that's his.
Yeah, and then he has one called WallFix.
WallFlix?
Which is, WallFlix.
Okay, that is his. Okay, all right.
Yeah, that's his featured app.
And that is some wallpaper app that you can use your own videos to have as your wallpaper. That's very awesome. Cool. You know, how long have we all been waiting for that?
You and wow.
Yeah, that's cool. So now all I need is somebody to make an animated GIF of the Podnuts logo with the dude sitting in the middle of the nut with his cell phone out. Make that animated on a GIF in some way. Challenge to the listeners.
Well, nobody else has that except for you, me, and Richard.
Oh, okay, so we need to post that. We need to put a link to this logo. Can we do that, Dor? Is there a way to do that?
Well, what's this we? Do you have a mouse in your pocket?
No, it's in my hand, though.
Okay, well, then you can post it.
Okay, so I will try to find my copy of this if it's cool with Richard. Thank you, Richard. I'm going to do it. And then, Richard will probably be able to make the animated GIF. I probably don't even have to look elsewhere. He's the man. Okay, Dor. Those are a couple of apps. Tech.
Yeah, I'm just documenting real quick.
And
Tech.
All right. Well, while you're doing that, I'm going to go ahead and go into an app. So I took my VR headset to work with me the other day.
Oh, man.
I know. Here we go. Well, I had to show these people, because whenever you get a chance to introduce and expose people to technology that's relatively cheap, yet will blow their mind, you have to take that advantage, because they're never, it's like, you know, you can never redo a first impression. They'll never forget the person who introduced them to a 360 video and virtual reality.
Well, you can, but it involves wiping the person's memory.
Right. And these VR apps are just steps away from doing that anyway, so that should be that's good. So anyway, one of the people at work's like, you have to get me one of those VR headsets. I don't care what I have to pay, as long as it's not more than $50. And they have like a Samsung Galaxy S6, so I'm like, yeah, that's fine, we'll just get you whatever. So I went online, found a really cheap headset, which actually I'm giving it to her, because I don't feel right giving her the one I've had for like a year. But the one she's getting is actually a little better, because it's open on the ends and you can run headphone cords through the open end, where mine is sealed kind of, and you can't listen to it on headphones unless they're Bluetooth. So anyway, I'm hooking them up, but now, you know, you don't want to tell them apps to install, really. Let them ease into it. So a really good first place to go, I feel, to experience VR without adding, you know, without even gaining access to their phone to install some kind of VR app, is YouTube 360. It's a YouTube, if you type in a Google search, type in YouTube 360, it will give you a huge list of 360-degree videos. In that list, you'll have trending and immersive with spatial audio, VR videos.
I don't see any app called YouTube 360.
I'm sorry, it's not an app, though. It is just YouTube.
Oh, from within the YouTube app itself.
From the...
You search...
Yes. You search 360 videos. Now, once you click on one of those that you may want to watch, down in the bottom right corner, you'll have a little cardboard picture down there. If you click that cardboard picture, it'll then turn it from a 360 video that, say, you'd watch on your tablet into the binocular view where it's separated in two and has to be then placed into some sort of a viewer and then strapped to your face. And then those 360 videos take on much more meaning than they were when they were just a YouTube video that was in 360. We could move around with it.
Ooh, Maroon 5. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Maroon 5 Live.
McDonald's Angry Birds. That's BMW
so
M2. So you're watching commercials?
If you go to the trending 360 videos, maybe not the ones. Doors reading the YouTube ads leaderboard 360 special edition ones, I'm pretty sure. So if you go to the trending 360 videos, they are not ads. Except, well, there is a Maroon 5 video there.
There is.
But that's not an ad. Those are some of the better ones. Well, you know, things where you are just like hang gliding, and it's giving you these amazing visuals of cliffs and water and stuff. And then if you turn around while you got this VR headset, you see a dude who seems like he's got you attached to his left foot. And you're just looking at him, and you look back forward, and you can see what he's seeing, basically. This is a great first step, and this is a great demo for the headset before you get into actually installing apps.
Here's one for my kid. Every Super Mario game ever in 360. Oh, yeah. I could see kids loving this one. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a lot of content on here. I mean, just in the trending videos, there's over 100 just trending videos. And honestly, a lot of the apps right now are just videos. Either right. Created by a computer or a fancy camera.
Fancy camera. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's kind of an app door, not exactly an app.
Well, it's an interactive thing, so that's cool. You're watching, see, every Super Mario game ever in 360 is only a 4-minute video. Okay, that's not every. Let's not get ahead of ourselves now.
Oh.
They're just showing you game covers.
If you're saying that, Dor, there's, as of today, since you brought it up.
Okay, I brought it up.
Okay, today is Sonic the Hedgehog's 25th birthday? 20?
Yeah, something like that.
I think it's, yeah. So there's a 1-minute video that takes you, if you go to Amazon, there's a 1-minute video that takes
Amazon?
Yeah. Okay. Amazon.com today.
You're all over the place, man.
Amazon.com today says 25th anniversary Sonic the Hedgehog, and it gives you a video that shows every Sonic from day one to present in 1 minute.
Well, I'll say that's not very many, but a bunch. Because, you know, it is Sonic.
That's not very many what?
Games.
That's that all the games. Compared, just not very long
compared anymore. To Mario. Jeez.
Huh?
Sonic is like the pro wing. They're like the dollar store sneakers compared to the Nikes. Okay, look,
Sonic. No. Those are not two comparable items. The only thing that
I agree.
I used the segue from was that all of the Marios could be fit into 4 minutes, and all of the Sonics could be fit in 1 minute.
Yeah, I'm not a Sonic guy.
No,
you know, never have been. Nope. I played it. I remember as a kid, like once or twice, and thought. Is this for mental invalids?
Oh, man. Dor, I played Sonic much more than Mario.
To me, Mario is much more challenging and in-depth kind of world.
And that's why.
At least in my head.
Mario was much more challenging. And that's exactly why.
Yeah.
All right. Dor, you bring...
And I saw the Humble Bundle had some kind of bundle where if you spend like $35, you get a shirt too.
Oh, okay.
And a whole bunch of Sonic stuff. And I thought to myself, I really hate Sonic. But my kid, let's just say I got two kids. I got the smart kid, and then I have the other one. And the other one really likes Sonic.
the older Sonic games were a lot better. The new ones where you're like flying on a suspended from the bottom of a rail kind of weird. No, I don't like the 3D Sonic at all.
Right. So I might actually get them for him because he really is like love Sonic, and trust me, I love both my kids equally. I just know which one's going to be able to take care of me when he's older. You know? Okay. Do we have any more emails you want to go to, or
no? I think that was it. I think we just had
okay.
two.
Okay. I'm going to bring an app here, Eric. This one was from Google Plus. I believe is where this came from. I want to say it was Tom Zach. Yeah. I pronounced this, I'm going to guess, Picketball. PKTBALL, Endless Smash Sport. Okay. Endless in the name is a hint to the game itself. It is a quote unquote endless type game where you just basically, once you start, the question is, how long can you keep going? You can get bonuses, you can get combos, you can change the arena that you're in, but it's basically the same game mechanics as you go on. And I will say, this is the kind of game that very, very, very quickly becomes very, very challenging. It's almost the kind of game where you have to have like ESP into the future. That's how fast the game is. If you will, take like imagine a tennis court where the opponent's on the top, you're on the bottom, the screen is divided. You have to hit the screen, move your player, and when you let go is when you swing or hit. But you have to literally be almost so fast, you have to almost predict where they're going to be by. Now, you don't have to be exactly in the perfect spot. It's like you could swing the racket anywhere around you. So as long as you're physically close to wherever the ball is going to be at, you will hit it in the right direction. This is one of those unbelievably fast, is the way I'm going to put it, game, where you can get into the zone, you can get into the swing, you can really get a long volley going if you're really good. For the first couple games, it's going to be a very methodical click, 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 lost.
What? Yeah.
You know, but it is a fun game, I will say that. Again, it's called, I believe, Picket Ball or Packet Ball, PKTBALL by LaserDog. E for everyone, completely free, does have in-app purchases. 2,400 reviews, 4.6 ratings. That's a high rating.
Yeah. Well, it is PKTBAL. Yeah. PKTBALL/EndlessSmashSport, just in case there's more. So is this today's Pong then? Is this the new Pong?
That's a good way to put it, but I will say Pong didn't require ridiculous reflexes. It, to me, needed like foresight.
Yeah.
You had to see where the thing was going. This is really reactionary. Wow. Unbelievably quick is what you
did. Did you get a chance to try your luck on the PTK grabber, which is looks like a robotic,
it's like a claw machine. No, and to be honest, I despise when games put like daily mini games inside of their game.
Yeah.
Just let me play the game. I came here to play the game.
I agree.
You know. Okay, and I will say real quick, T-Mobile Tuesday, I've now gotten 3 movie rental or credits of, I believe it is $5, maybe $5. Yeah, $5 each week to my account. Never once taken them up on the free pizza because it's Domino's. If you work for Domino's, I'm sorry, but it's
pizza. They dropped out already. They're done.
Didn't shock me. Wendy's with the free Frosty. There's a Wendy's on the way home for me, but I never stopped there.
Really? You know,
yeah, never. Never. Every Wendy's I go to in the state of Maryland, it's like they never have the fryers calibrated right, and the fries are never cooked all the way.
I don't need the fries, even though they do have sea salt on them. But the here's a tech tip.
Dude, sea salt is just salt.
I know. Here's a tech tip. Okay. If you go to Wendy's, order, and you want to be on the cheap, and you want a good burger, you order the single classic deluxe.
Okay.
It's like $1.15. It was $1.
Oh, wow.
What is it? Single classic deluxe. Yeah. Single classic deluxe. It's almost like eating a salad on a bun. You get one really thin little piece of meat, and then you get like pickles and lettuce and onions, and it's just a big size burger, but none of it's meat. It's just like,
well, any of my burger orders are followed up with the word plain, so it would not be as much of a value.
No, that's the opposite of this burger. Totally the opposite.
Yeah. Okay. Next app I'm going to bring here is called Memento Bay. I will say, to me, this is one of the most eloquently named apps or games, whatever. Memento Bay. To me, it just rings of something. You know what I mean? Some kind of like truthfulness kind of thing. No video.
It rings of thinking back when you were near the water.
Right.
By Boomfruit, though.
Yeah, and how could it be bad? By Boomfruit. Brand new game, I'm going to say. Brand new. Only 37 reviews. 4.4, only between 1,000 and 5,000 installs. Current version 1.0.34. So it's definitely newer on the market. This is a quote-unquote endless game, but not really. I mean, I don't know if you remember Cruising USA.
Yeah.
Cruising USA, every now and then, you would come across a fork in the road. And the fork in the road would determine where you were going. And then when you go through the fork, it would, you know, you could tell everything changed. Now, with this game, what happens is you have to always go through the gates. The very start of the game, you go through the gate, then you go through the gate, then you go through the gate, and then they start shifting where the gate's at. And then you get to a point where it has two arrows going both ways, aka pick a direction, mm-hmm. right or left. You go right, you get one type of environment that you're in. You go left, you have a completely different environment that you're in. If you look on the screenshots top left, you can see like the bowling pin pattern. That's your pattern of when you're going through that giant, like, overall world map kind of thing. So what I liked about this game a lot was the graphics are simple, the graphics are plain, the controls are easy. You basically just touch and hold the screen and your boat starts to move. You move your finger left and right and your boat goes left and right, so you're not covering up where you're at. Your finger's on the bottom of the screen. You're moving up. You can clearly see everything in front of you.
Oh, okay.
And it's very, if you don't like, you know, the place you're in now, well, next time you play, don't go to the right, go to the left. You go to the opposite side, then you'll be in a completely different area. You're a very small boat on the screen. You do have to have some pretty precise actions. The good thing is if you hit stuff, you don't explode, you don't die, you don't reset, you just stop. And the screen, you know, like flashes red for a second, and then you can keep going again. So you just slow down. There are jumps in the game, obstacles, you know, stuff like that. So your main goal is to basically just follow the arrows on the very top of the screen and make it through the gates.
I bet Mark would love this game if he was here this week.
I honestly don't know, but now that you say that, I could see him either completely destroying it. I could see him completely destroying it. Yeah, I could. They call this a minimal art style game. I really like this art look because it's non-complex. It's non-crazy flashy. It just works. The boat almost reminds me of back in the day, Cobra Triangle. I'm not going to say anymore. I like this. This is going to actually stay installed for a little bit. If you look, take a look at like the third or fourth screenshot, you're almost in like a swampy type thing with like trees all around you. That is the kind of course that is not at all easy to go through because you ain't going slow.
It looks like looking at the bowling pins at the top, that's like the last level for the way
that,
they got it.
Well, that makes sense. It makes a heck of a lot of sense because that does not look easy.
How far through that bowling pin did you make it, do you think?
I made it, I believe, halfway to the third layer.
That's cool.
Trust me, it was not easy. And I think I just got lucky when I did it. There is some kind of in-app purchases. I might do the in-app purchase, whatever it is, just to support the guy. Yeah, full paid static image ads between games, no audio. So, it, you know what I mean? No audio, no video, just full screen. Here's an ad. Click the X, move on, try again, or start over. So I might do the in-app purchases, just get rid of that. Again, that's Memento Bay by Boomfruit, which is fantastic.
Boomfruit. Man.
Yeah, Boomfruit.
Hey, I got another one. Can quite a few.
Yeah.
This one, Dora was listening to it earlier. I was trying to test and tune this app out before the show. I meant to play it on my phone and my tablet, but my tablet was dead, so I had to bring up two phones. So here, this is called Amp Me, and it's all one word: AMPME, and it's by Amp Me Incorporated. What this app does is let's say you're at a gathering of people and you've got the song you want other people to hear, or you're listening to a song, and say you guys are just sitting around a campfire or something, like, man, I wish that song was a little louder, but my phone's already all the way up. If your friend has AntMe installed, they can join and hook into your phone through Wi-Fi, then their phone will start playing the exact same song at the exact same time as your phone, and you can hook multiple phones up. So you could have a whole campfire circle of everybody having their phones out, listening to the same song, so it actually would get much louder from everybody's speakers instead of just one phone speaker.
Okay, to me stupid, me old, me gray, that is the worst example of when to use this. To me, the real place to use this is you're in your house, you have old devices, you scatter them through your house, you have them all connected, and then when you hit play on one device, it basically plays through the whole house.
Yeah, I mean, you have to join the party, though, so it's not automatically just starts playing everywhere. You're talking like a Sonos audio system sort of thing.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, that would work.
Might work, I don't know.
You could almost get a stereo effect if you had two phones, though, and held one up to each ear, I guess. You know, that might be a use case.
And I mean, I'm not stupid. I know every kid is going to have a device or multiple devices. So I can understand trying to do something cooperative between them, but I don't see, hey, Ben, join my party.
Well, if
you know, and then he's going to say, you're listening to what? No, I'm not joining your party.
You know, you don't really get to see what they're listening to. It's just, you just join.
Well, yeah. So, well, they're going
to
hear
so
it.
So if we wanted to dance, Dor, and we didn't want to, you know, like wake up everybody in the whole place, we could put our headphones in each, and you could join my party, and we would be able to dance to the exact same song at the exact same time without it playing out loud, too.
Okay, you're mildly freaking me out, but yes.
I mean, that's a use case, I think. I don't know. Whenever you need to hear the same thing that's on somebody else's phone, that's the use case at the same time, synced together.
Right. I think we lost the live stream.
Yep. NSA.
Yeah, I mean, I could definitely see a use case for this app, though. Not me, though.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the... I mean, I guess you could have one of them with the aux cable going into a stereo receiver and then DJ off of your other phone, changing the songs and changing the playlist off of one phone and playing loudly to something else without using a Chromecast. It'd be kind of the same thing as a music Chromecast, I guess, in that respect.
Right.
Yeah, that was the app. Now, full disclosure, when I was playing this earlier, I tried it with an Android App Addicts podcast, and it would play it like Dor? 2.5 times speed, and it sounded like squirrels.
It was like 2x, and it sounded like chipmunks, yeah.
Yeah. So, because I couldn't, I wanted to try it for the show, but I can't actually play real music on the show because then we get a takedown notice. We don't need that with the show. All right, Dor, what you got?
I mean, we've been going on for an hour now.
All right, we'll give you a quick empty of the tank then.
Okay, I'll bring one more here, and it's only because it's by Clockwork Mod, and Clockwork Mod is one of those game devs or devs couch that I just try to support whenever I can.
Yeah.
This is called Screen Recording and Mirror by Clockwork Mod, free to everyone, no in-app purchases. What you can do is, as soon as you launch it up, you can either mirror your phone to a Miracast or a Chromecast device, or you can simply record your screen. You can turn the microphone on and off. You can show your taps on the screen, which can help, but also... you can basically not record a movie, but you can also just create a GIF and a GIF, GIF, whatever, straight in it. The only thing I don't like is I believe this has a 25-second limit on the videos, because this was the I did try to make somebody a video using this, and 25 seconds was clearly not close to enough time. So I went back to the old standby, which is REC record. It's like REC period, I believe it's called, which is my old standby for recording screencast on Android.
Huh. I'll tell you what, this is the developer's developer, this guy.
Yeah.
So I've got an app that I was using, and I had a problem with it. And they're like, hey, can you send me a screenshot? Well, a video would really have made a lot more sense to send to them than a screenshot, because a screenshot wouldn't express to them the problem I was having with their app. This is perfect for things like that. And I'm going to probably install this just so I can send them that bug, even though I think they fixed the bug while waiting for me to send it, because I don't know if I've seen it happen again.
Gotcha. Well, yeah, and I mean, even a GIF, if you just want to do something really quick and put it on social media, nothing translates across platforms, whether it's mobile or desktop, than a GIF. You know? And I'll put it like this. The guy also, to me, gets a style point. Clockwork Mod. This is the original guy who was working on recoveries and flashing phones and doing all that kind of stuff. So Koosh, to me, is a guy I will basically once in a while just throw money at, just because. But look at the icon, to me, of this app. That icon alone is almost luxurious. That's style.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Richard, our art guy, would say something about the icon. But I just find the simplistic nature of that to be an elegant, really good looking icon. And to be honest, I just like having it in my app drawer.
And it looks like a mirror, because the name of the app is called Screen Recording and Mirror. But yeah, mm-hmm. It's really cool. I didn't really think about that, but you're right, Dora. It's simple and elegant.
Right. And let me just take a quick peek through my apps. And I am going to throw one more out here. And it's because I'm a nerd. And, you know, I'll say, if you don't like nerds or you don't like laughing at nerds, then I'm sorry, but this is the show. This is called Shell Launcher. Shell Launcher is the name of the app. This is a Linux shell, which is Linux command line, by Francesco Andruzzi. E for everyone, completely free, no in-app purchases, only 345 reviews, 4.4, only 10 to 50,000 installs, version 4, so it's been around a little bit. This is the nerds launcher. What I mean by that is there is no icons, there is no avatars, there is no gradient color, there is no edges to be rounded or sharp cornered. This is literally a text-based interface where on your main screen you have stuff like you have all your basic apps where you can just type them in and start doing an app. You can go to about, all in alphabetical order, of course, about, airplane mode, call, CD, clear, contacts, data, flash, help, listen. If you are at all a fan of the simplicity of command line or textual interfaces, I guarantee there's going to be something about this that you like.
Okay, so this is not just an app that opens a shell command line access place.
This is trying to be basically a launcher.
Okay, so, and it interacts with your Android phone using these command line commands. So if you wanted to just hand somebody your phone, they hit the power button on the side, and all they're going to see is this for their GUI.
And all they're going to do is hand you the phone back.
Yes, that's very cool. I like that. This is cool, and you don't. Well, you're going to have to learn some command line codes, but you type in help, and they're all there.
Yeah,
this is not going to be a quick and efficient way through your phone.
Probably not, unless you quickly want to, as soon as you pick up your phone, move files or copy files around and launch apps, like with equal amount of times. You know what I mean? If like every 2 to 3 times you turn your phone on, you want to copy files or move files, this could actually be comparable in time. But if all you do is pick up your phone, launch apps, this is going to definitely take longer.
This would be a neat app for somebody to use as a bit of a prank. If somebody hands you their phone to do whatever, quickly install Shell Launcher on it and just power it down and give it back to them. Say, oh, it's all fixed. You can check it out later. Let's get back to doing what we were doing.
Right.
Yeah, that would be pretty good. Or just to show your prowess, you know, you could kind of be like one of those Microsoft repairmen who call you in the middle of the night, and you can just start, oh, you know, oh, your phone's slow? Here, let me take a look at it, and just start pulling this up and hit the help button and have it scroll down through a bunch of commands and really make it look like you know what you're talking about, what you're doing.
Yeah.
When all they actually needed was to disable some stock app, the crapware that came with your phone. No, that's cool. Shell Launcher by Francesco Andruzzi. Good Irish name. Yeah. All right. Well, Dor, we do have, you know, before we go, I want to mention that Michael Eisland contributed a $5 pledge to the show. Thank you, Michael. Very cool. You are the man. And then last week, I know we had Kay Treacle I don't know if I said the name right this time, had given us a donation, and she was so impressed with my pronunciation of her last name, she sent us a little message that she was excited when I pronounced it correctly. And I may have just butchered it this time, but I think that's how I said it last time. So thank you, Carrie, for your donation too. And anybody else who enjoys listening to the show and enjoys checking out new apps with us, just head over to the Patreon off of the Podnuts page and give Dor a little love there.
Well, if there's anybody doing any type of creative content whatsoever that's on Patreon, I encourage you, do what you can to support them. If you can support us, that's great, but support somebody. Most of the people who are doing this, they're not trying to get rich. They're not trying to become billionaires or millionaires. They're just trying to justify, I'm doing this, okay, and making some money off of it, and it's going to help them to do more in the future. I will say, if you go to the Patreon and a guy's making $10,000 a month, he doesn't have to have your money. Find lower people to make, you know, spread the love around. Don't just go and support the big money people, support the small people as well. Any and all help, trust me when I say this, it's greatly appreciated. And the example is Captain Zero. He's going through a life change, is what I'm going to say. And by that, I don't mean a sex change. He's going through a change in his life and everything. And he lowered his pledge and he apologized. And I'm like, no, anything you can give is appreciative. You sending in apps, you sending in emails when you can is appreciative. You don't have to give any money. You know, don't feel stressed. Don't feel pressured. The last thing I want is someone to adjust their life in order to support us.
Well put. Yeah. And I wish him well. But I don't know any of the story, but I wish him well and whatever's going on. Hopefully everything turns out good.
Well, for he's him. Not getting a sex change. That's the first thing you have to know.
Okay. Well, that's good for him then. Okay. Well, we will talk to you next week. Once again, Mark will probably not be with us yet next week, but, we'll also wish him well in case he's listening out there. And we'll see you next week. Thanks, guys.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.